Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Top story around the world is testing of a new nuclear device by North Korea yesterday, detonating what they say is a hydrogen bomb, one that could be attached to a missile capable of reaching the United States. President Trump this morning tweeting, South Korea is finding, as I have told them, that their talk of appeasement with North Korea will not work. They only understand one thing. He had several tweets this morning, including North Korea has conducted a major nuclear test. Their words and actions continue to be very hostile and dangerous to the United States. After reports of a huge explosion there, it was reported that a magnitude 6.3 earthquake was detected in the area of a nuclear test site in North. Ian Pannell is a senior foreign correspondent for ABC News, who is stationed in the London Bureau there. Ian, thank you for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, Dean. Great to be with you.
Thank you for joining us. And what is the latest that you can now tell us as the world's tensions have been heightened as a result of all of these actions?
Yeah, you're so right, Dean. I mean, this was already a crisis, and it was hard to imagine it getting much worse, and it seems to have got significantly worse by the testing of this bomb. Remember, President Trump was tweeting only 2 weeks ago, in essence, thanking the North Korean leader for not conducting a test, saying that they'd pull back from the brink after all the warnings that were issued. Remember President Trump saying that he would wreak fire down on the North Koreans if they carried out further tests and warned them of the consequences. They didn't conduct those tests. This was mid-August, but now they seem to have gone ahead and done this. And most worryingly for everyone, it is a hydrogen bomb that they say can be fitted onto an intercontinental ballistic missile. What's also true and worth adding at this point is that it's still not proven that they have the capability to do that and to have that kind of missile technology that's capable not just of leaving the atmosphere, but of re-entering it in one piece.
What's the world opinion of what the end game is by North Korea with all of this testing and saber-rattling, nuclear saber-rattling?
I mean, it's always very difficult trying to read the minds of the North Koreans. It's like trying to read the minds of the Soviets during those days of the Cold War. But what most people assume is going on here is that actually this is a very calculated move by the North Koreans. Although he's often portrayed as unhinged, a man that you couldn't trust, you wouldn't know what would happen from 1 minute to the next. The truth seems to be somewhere very different. This is a very deliberate ploy by the North Koreans. Because if you are a nuclear nation with nuclear power and capability, you are treated very, very differently. Look at Pakistan, look at Israel, look at many other countries around the world. When you become a nuclear power, you become a much more serious player. You've got to assume that that is their strategy. Can they get that far? Why, can they produce a nuclear weapon that's capable of being flown around the world, potentially with devastating consequences, and will that extract the kind of concessions that they need? That's what we assume their strategy is. But it's clearly a very, very dangerous, high-risk gamble, because it only takes the smallest mistake for something disastrously wrong to happen, and then we're looking at war.
The sanctions that had been imposed seem to have had absolutely no effect on Kim Jong-un.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, they're talking about more sanctions. In fact, I think the U.S. government is already planning to announce more sanctions today, and the U.N. Security Council will no doubt issue another statement condemning it. I mean, none of this seems to have any impact. Who has influence with the North Koreans? Well, the answer is Beijing. It's the Chinese who have influence. Now, they have condemned, interestingly, a very strong condemnation of what North Korea did. The Russians have condemned it, the French, the British, everybody else, as you would expect, the Germans also. But the countries who sometimes stand to one side, take a different view to America, like Russia and China, are both on board, both condemning it. But the question is, what do you do about this? And you start to look at the options, none of them are good. The only real option there, even though President Trump says there's no time for talking, is to talk, because the other option is conflict, even if it's a limited strike, and that brings untold consequences.
You're talking about the influence of Beijing and other forces, which, again, seem to have no effect here whatsoever. It's as though Kim Jong-un is just operating as he sees fit, clearly able to produce these bombs, to produce all of these threats within North Korea without the help of any other country to slow him down in any way.
Well, look, on one level, it's certainly true to say that China has the ability to turn on and off the taps. I mean, if China decided to stand aside and let North Korea sink, which is what the country would do economically very, very quickly, without help from China, then it could do that. It could put pressure on the North Korean leader to try and come to the negotiating table, to try and talk, to try and engage in some form of diplomatic activity. However, China also has strategic concerns in that area. It's concerned about balance of power. It's concerned about influence. But it's also really concerned about what happens if there is any kind of conflict. Remember, China borders North Korea. If there is a war, any kind of conflict there, you could see millions of people flooding across that border into China, destabilizing the country, harming its economy, harming its own ambitions to be a global superpower. So there are a lot of calculations that many people are having to make. But yes, you make a great point. Who is it that is actually going to force Kim Jong-un to the negotiating table? I suspect they don't really want to do it in a meaningful way until they have this weapon.
And if I'm remembering, I'm trying to remember my geography correctly, not one of my strong points, but I believe North Korea shares a border with Russia as well. So that same refugee problem could impact Putin as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, it would destabilize the entire region. It's in nobody's interest to see anything other than diplomacy go ahead. And interestingly, you are seeing that. I mean, Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, when President Trump says, look, there's no time for talking, you have Secretary of State Tillerson engaged in that process of talking. We know there are diplomatic back channels. Washington and Pyongyang do talk to each other, maybe not directly, but there are conversations that go on all the time. And those people are incredibly active at the moment. They're the ones who are trying to calm heads, and the influence of people, certainly inside the U.S. administration, will be absolutely critical here. President Trump's acknowledged that he has to deal with North Korea, even though his tweets today were blaming South Korea, who were blaming China. Of course, all those countries have a role to play. But what Kim Jong-un wants is he wants America's attention, and it's America he wants to negotiate with.
Yeah, and he most certainly has it. Whether the Twitter diplomacy is the best route to take right now, remains a question. But good to hear the cooler heads are prevailing behind the scenes to try to diffuse all of this talk, which sounds very, very dangerous right now. Ian Pannell is senior foreign correspondent with ABC News in London. Ian, we appreciate very much you joining us this morning. Some great information. Thank you so much.